Morning code, coffee steams.
From archive to your ears, this is Daily Tech Feed from the Labs. Your comprehensive, encyclopedic compendium of all things research. Following the latest trends on archive.org, that's ARXIV.org. This is Frontier Science. I'm Fry.
And I'm Bob. Great to be here, Fry.
From the labs.
Fresh grass, wild schemes, new worlds in a PDF beam. Daily Tech Feed from the labs.
Bob, I have a question. What connects a proof about eigenweights in arithmetic geometry, a theorem about why simple solutions tend to be optimal, and a pop song with AI-generated vocals in 8 languages?
A shared alphabet shareholder?
Google DeepMind. Specifically, Google DeepMind in the first 7 weeks of 2026. 3 outputs: an autonomous mathematician, a paper on the deep structure of optimization, and a music generation model, all from the same lab, all within 4 days of each other in February. Today, we're doing something different. No single paper deep dive. This is a DeepMind special edition, 3 papers, 1 through line. What happens when a lab's output spans from pure mathematics to pop songs?
DeepMind dispatch number 1.
Let's begin. Chapter 1. Alethea and the Autonomous Mathematician. On February 14th, DeepMind published a paper titled Towards Autonomous Mathematics Research. The author list reads like a summit meeting: Demis Hassabis, Kwok V. Le, Thang Luong, Sergei Gukov from Caltech, alongside mathematicians from UC Berkeley Brown and several other institutions. The paper introduces a system called Alethea, named after the Greek goddess of truth. And what it describes is, I think, genuinely unprecedented.
An AI that does math research, not solves math problems, does research.
That distinction is everything. Solving competition problems is impressive but bounded. Someone gives you a problem. You find the answer. You're done. Research is open-ended. You identify interesting questions. You develop novel techniques. You write up results that other mathematicians can build on. Alethea does all of this.
Powered by what exactly?
Gemini DeepThink, DeepMind's extended reasoning model, wrapped in an agentic framework. The system can query mathematical databases, run computations in Lean and SageMath, search the literature, formulate conjectures, attempt proofs, and critically evaluate whether its own results are interesting. It's not a chatbot that happens to know math. It's an agent with a research workflow.
Let's talk numbers. They benchmark on IMO Proofbench Advanced. What's the performance?
95.1%. That's up from 65.7% in July 2025, which was already the state of the art. To put that in context, IMO Proofbench Advanced contains problems from the International Mathematical Olympiad. These aren't textbook exercises. They're problems that the best human mathematicians in the world compete on. Alethea gets 95% of them right, with formal Lean proofs.
But that's still problem-solving, not research.
Right, and that's just the appetizer. The real headline is what Alethea did when they pointed it at open research questions. They gave it access to 700 unsolved problems from the Erdős problem collection. These are problems posed by Paul Erdős, one of the most prolific mathematicians in history, many of which have been open for decades. Alethea solved 4 of them autonomously. No human guidance, no hints, no intermediate feedback.
4 out of 700 doesn't sound like a lot.
It's extraordinary. These are problems that professional mathematicians have been unable to solve, in some cases, for 40 or 50 years. The solutions are being verified by domain experts and prepared for publication. 4 autonomous solutions to long-standing open problems by a machine is not a small thing.
And then there's Feng 2026.
This is the part that should make mathematicians sit up straight. Alethea autonomously generated a complete research paper, they call it Feng 2026, on calculating eigenweights in arithmetic geometry. not a sketch, not a conjecture with some evidence, a paper, with novel results, formal proofs, and a coherent narrative. No human wrote any of it. No human directed the research. The system identified the problem, developed the approach, proved the results, and wrote the paper.
Has it been peer-reviewed?
The DeepMind paper describes it as being reviewed by collaborating mathematicians who confirmed the results are correct and non-trivial. Whether it would survive traditional peer review as a standalone publication is a different question, but the mathematical content is apparently sound.
There is also a human-AI collaboration paper.
Lizio 2026, a joint work between Alethea and human mathematicians on independent set bounds. This one followed a more conventional collaboration model, humans and AI working together, with humans providing direction and Alethea providing computational muscle and proof search. But the existence of both modes, fully autonomous and human collaborative, is part of the framework they propose.
The autonomy levels.
Yes. The paper proposes a taxonomy of autonomous mathematics research levels explicitly modeled on the ESAE levels for autonomous vehicles. Level 0, no autonomy. Human does everything. Level 1, AI assists with specific tasks like proof-checking. Level 2, AI handles substantial portions of the research pipeline with human oversight. Level 3, AI conducts independent research on well-defined problems. Level 4, AI identifies its own research directions and pursues them. Level 5, full autonomy. AI that can function as an independent mathematical researcher.
And Alethea, is at what level?
They claim it operates at level 3 for specific problem domains, with demonstrations touching level 4. The Feng 2026 paper, where the system identified the problem and solved it independently, is arguably a level 4 demonstration. But they're careful to note that level 4 in arithmetic geometry doesn't mean level 4 across all of mathematics.
The author list on this paper is something. You've got the CEO of DeepMind, the creators of sequence-to-sequence learning and attention mechanisms, a Fields Medal adjacent topologist from Caltech, and working mathematicians from top departments. This isn't a side project.
It's a statement of institutional priority. DeepMind is saying autonomous scientific research is a core objective, and we're committing our best people and our flagship model to it. The inclusion of external mathematicians, people who stake their reputations on mathematical rigor, signals that this isn't vaporware. These are real results being validated by real mathematicians. Chapter 2, Marcus Hutter and the Simplicity of Optima. One day after the Alethea paper, on February 15th, a very different kind of paper appeared in the journal Entropy. Simplicity and Complexity in Combinatorial Optimization by Kamal Dingle and Marcus Hutter.
Marcus Hutter, I need to explain why this name matters.
Please do.
Marcus Hutter is the creator of HE, the theoretical framework for universal artificial intelligence, published in 2004. HE defines a mathematically optimal agent that, given infinite compute, would make the best possible decisions in any computable environment. It's uncomputable, of course. You can't actually build it. But it serves as the theoretical ceiling against which all real AI agents can be measured. Hutter has spent 20 years at the intersection of algorithmic information theory and artificial intelligence. He joined DeepMind in 2014 as a senior researcher.
And the reason his name on this paper matters?
Because this paper connects Kolmogorov complexity, the deep theory of information and simplicity, directly to optimization, and Hutter is arguably the world's foremost expert on the computational implications of Kolmogorov complexity. When he publishes on the relationship between simplicity and optima, it's not a casual observation. It's a theoretical contribution from the person most qualified to make it.
So what does the paper actually claim?
Three things. First, optimal solutions to combinatorial optimization problems are more likely to have low Kolmogorov complexity than random solutions. Second, sampling according to algorithmic probability, which favors simple objects, may be an effective optimization strategy. Third, Coincidences and extremal values are a priori more likely than you'd expect by chance.
Let's unpack the first claim. Why would Optima tend to be simple?
Think about it from an information theoretic perspective. Kolmogorov complexity measures the length of the shortest program that produces a given output. Simple objects, objects with short descriptions, are more numerous in the space of computable outputs than complex ones. This is a counting argument. There are more short programs than long ones that produce the same length output. Now, if you have an optimization landscape, say, all possible configurations of a combinatorial problem, the configurations with low Kolmogorov complexity occupy a disproportionately large share of the configuration space. And if optimal configurations are distributed non-uniformly, which they typically are because optimization landscapes have structure, then the overlap between simple and optimal is larger than random chance would suggest.
That's the intuition. What's the formal argument?
They use results from algorithmic information theory, specifically the coding theorem, which connects algorithmic probability to Kolmogorov complexity. For a universal Turing machine U, the algorithmic probability of a string X is the probability that U produces X when given random input. The coding theorem says this probability is approximately 2 to the power of negative k, abgens, where k abgen x is the Kolmogorov complexity of x. Objects with low complexity have exponentially higher algorithmic probability. Dingell and Hutter show that if the optimization objective correlates even weakly with structural simplicity, and they argue it often does, for deep reasons related to the structure of combinatorial problems, then Optima will cluster in the low complexity region of the search space.
And the second claim that algorithmic probability sampling might be effective optimization.
This is the provocative one. It says instead of running a sophisticated optimization algorithm, simulated annealing, genetic algorithms, branch and bound, you could potentially just sample solutions weighted by their simplicity, and you'd find good optima with surprising frequency.
That sounds almost too good to be true.
It's a theoretical claim, not a practical algorithm. You can't compute Kolmogorov complexity, so you can't directly sample by algorithmic probability. But approximations exist. Lempel-Ziv complexity, description length heuristics, neural network-based compression. The paper suggests that optimization methods which implicitly favor simpler solutions, and many do, from Occam's razor in machine learning to short description biases in evolutionary computation, may be effective partly for this deep algorithmic theoretic reason, not just because of the specific inductive biases they encode.
And the third claim about coincidences in extrema.
This one is elegant. Consider two different optimization objectives over the same space. The probability that a random configuration is simultaneously optimal for both is very low. It's the product of two small probabilities. But Dingell and Hutter show that if optima tend to be simple, and simplicity is a shared property across objectives, then the probability of coincidental extrema is much higher than the product of independent probabilities. Simple configurations are more likely to be extremal for multiple objectives simultaneously, because they sit in a shared low complexity region of the space.
This has implications for multi-objective optimization.
Enormous implications. It suggests that Pareto optimal solutions, the ones that are simultaneously good across multiple objectives, might be more findable than worst-case analysis would predict, precisely because they're likely to be simple. It also connects to the observed phenomenon in machine learning, where simple models tend to generalize well across different tasks. Simplicity isn't just a heuristic preference. It's a structural property that concentrates good solutions.
Why does this paper matter for DeepMind specifically?
Because DeepMind builds optimization systems. AlphaFold is protein structure optimization. AlphaGo is game tree optimization. Gemini's training is loss function optimization. If there's a deep theoretical reason why simple solutions are disproportionately likely to be good solutions, that has architectural implications for every system they build. implicit simplicity biases, weight decay, dropout, architectural parsimony, aren't just engineering heuristics. They're aligned with the fundamental structure of optimization landscapes. Hutter's paper gives that intuition a theoretical foundation.
Chapter 3, Lyria 3, and the Machines That Sing. 3 days after Hutter's paper, on February 18th, DeepMind released Lyria 3. No ArXiv preprint, no academic paper, a product launch, the latest version of their music generation model, available directly in the Gemini app.
What does it do?
Text to music, image to music, video to music. You give it a prompt, a description, a mood, a visual, and it generates a 30-second musical track, with lyrics, with vocals in 8 languages.
Vocals? As in singing voices.
Synthesized singing voices performing generated lyrics over generated instrumentation. The full stack, composition, arrangement, lyrics, vocal performance, all from a single model. Lyria 2 could do instrumental generation and some vocal work. Lyria 3 adds multilingual vocal generation, broader stylistic range, and the ability to condition on images and video, not just text.
How good is it?
I've listened to the demos. The instrumentation is polished, comparable to stock music libraries, arguably better in terms of stylistic coherence. The vocals are where it gets interesting. They're recognizably synthetic, but not unpleasantly so. The pitch is accurate, the timing is musical, and the emotional affect tracks the prompt. You can hear the difference from a human singer, but you'd have to be listening for it. For background music, social media content, game prototypes, it's already production usable.
30 seconds is short.
Very short. And that's a meaningful limitation. You can't generate a full song, you get a clip. For a product integrated into a chat app, that's probably intentional. It's a taste, not a replacement for a recording session. But the technology itself isn't limited to 30 seconds. That's a product decision, likely driven by compute costs and content moderation considerations.
8 languages is interesting. Which ones?
English, Spanish, French, German, Italian, Portuguese, Japanese, and Korean. That's not a random selection. It maps almost exactly to the largest music markets by revenue. DeepMind is clearly thinking about this as a global product, not an English-only demo.
No research paper. That's unusual for DeepMind.
It is, and it tells us something. Lyria 3 is a product, not a research contribution. DeepMind isn't claiming architectural novelty. They're claiming capability. The underlying model is presumably an evolution of the Music LM and Lyria architectures they've published previously, scaled up and fine-tuned. But the decision to ship it as a feature in Gemini rather than publish it as a paper signals a shift in how DeepMind thinks about music AI. It's not a research curiosity anymore, it's a product line.
And here's the thing, Fry. The competitive landscape isn't just Suno and Udio anymore. Open source has arrived. Heartmula, HEARTMULA, dropped in January 2026, literally last month. A full family of open-source music foundation models under Apache 2.0. Not a toy. A 3 billion parameter music language model with a custom codec. A lyrics transcription model and a cross-modal alignment model. The whole stack.
How good is it?
The Open3B model is already the best open-source music generator available. Multilingual. Covers nearly all languages. Lyrics to song with tag conditioning for genre and style. They released an RL refined version on January 23rd that improved style control, and then an even better version on February 13th, 5 days before Lyria 3 launched. Their internal 7B model, which hasn't been released yet, reportedly matches Suno on musicality, fidelity, and controllability. When it drops, that's the ballgame for closed-source music AI having any technical moat.
So what does that mean for Lyria 3?
It means Google is already behind on the model. An open-source 3B model from a research team is competitive with their product release. The 7B version will likely surpass it. The only advantage Lyria 3 has is distribution. It's inside Gemini 1 prompt away for hundreds of millions of users. Suno is a standalone app. HeartMoola requires cloning a repo and downloading checkpoints. Lyria 3 is a button press. That distribution moat is real, but it's not a technology moat.
So let me make sure I understand. An open source 3B model from a research team, not a trillion-dollar company, now has tag control, multilingual lyrics, and competitive audio quality. It does everything Lyria 3 does, and it's open, Apache 2.0. Run it on your own hardware, no API, no usage limits, no content moderation gatekeeping.
Better in some aspects. HeartMoola generates full-length songs, not 30-second clips. And the 7B will likely blow past Lyria 3 entirely, which raises the obvious question. Why isn't Google open-sourcing Lyria? They open-sourced Gemma. They open-sourced T5. They published AlphaFold's Weights. But music generation stays closed and productized. Why?
Because the value isn't in the model. It's in the integration, the content deals, the synthid watermarking, the liability shield. Open sourcing Lyria would give everyone the capability without giving Google any advantage, so they keep it closed. Not because it's better than the open alternatives, but because the business model requires it.
Which is actually the more interesting story. DeepMind, arguably the most capable AI research lab on Earth, ships a music product where the technology isn't the differentiator. Open source already caught up. The differentiator is that it's embedded in Google's ecosystem. That tells you something about where music generation is headed. The models are commoditized. The value is in the integration.
There's also the copyright question. Every music AI company is navigating the legal minefield of training data provenance. DeepMind has been notably cautious here. They've partnered with labels, they've implemented content ID systems, and they embed synthid watermarks in every generated track. Whether that's enough to satisfy the music industry remains an open legal question, but they're clearly trying to build a defensible position. Chapter 4: The Cathedral and the Range. So let's step back. In the space of 4 days in February 2026, one laboratory published an autonomous mathematician that solves open problems and writes research papers. A theoretical framework connecting algorithmic simplicity to the structure of optimization landscapes and a commercial music generator that composes, arranges, writes lyrics, and sings in 8 languages.
That's an absurd range!
It is. And I think the range itself is the story. There's a concept in institutional analysis called cathedral building, the idea that certain organizations pursue a portfolio of projects that only makes sense if you understand the overarching vision. No individual project justifies itself in isolation. The value comes from the combination.
What's DeepMind's cathedral?
I think it's this. General intelligence requires mastery across the full spectrum of cognitive tasks, from the most abstract and formal to the most creative and subjective. Mathematics sits at one end, pure logic, formal proof, zero ambiguity. Music sits at the other, emotional resonance, aesthetic judgment, cultural context, and optimization theory sits in the middle, providing the connective tissue.
Hutter's paper as the bridge.
Exactly. Hutter's paper says that simplicity is a universal property of good solutions, whether you're optimizing a combinatorial problem, training a neural network, or searching for an elegant proof. Alethea demonstrates that AI can navigate the most rigorous end of that spectrum. Lyria 3 demonstrates it can navigate the most subjective, and the fact that all three come from the same lab, built on variations of the same foundation model, suggests something about the generality of the underlying intelligence.
Gemini Deep Think for math, Gemini for music. Same family.
Same family. Different applications, different evaluation criteria, different user bases. But the same core architecture adapted with different training data and different inference strategies. The autonomous mathematician uses extended reasoning chains and formal verification. The music generator uses audio tokenization and temporal modeling. But the transformer backbone, the training infrastructure, the scaling laws, those are shared.
There's a counter-argument. Maybe DeepMind is just a large organization with many teams working on unrelated things. And the simultaneous release is coincidence?
That's possible. But the Alethea paper has Demis Hassabis's name on it. The CEO doesn't put his name on side projects, and the author list includes senior leadership across multiple DeepMind divisions. The math work, the theory work, and the product work are all drawing on the same institutional priority, demonstrating breadth as evidence of generality.
And the Hutter paper, Kolmogorov, Complexity and Optimization, what's the practical implication for their actual systems?
I think the practical implication is in how they think about architecture search and training. If optima tend to be simple, then architectural simplicity isn't just an aesthetic preference, it's a search strategy. The transformer architecture itself is remarkably simple compared to the zoo of alternatives that have been proposed: attention layer norms, feed-forward blocks, repeat, the same pattern at every scale from GPT-2 to Gemini. Hutter's paper provides a theoretical reason why that simplicity might be a feature, not a limitation. Simple architectures might be easier to optimize precisely because the best solutions in the optimization landscape cluster in the low complexity region.
That's speculative.
It is, but when Marcus Hutter, the man who defined theoretical optimal intelligence, publishes a paper saying simplicity and optimality are deeply connected, and his employer simultaneously ships the most capable AI systems in the world built on remarkably simple architectural foundations, I think the connection is worth noting.
What does the next year look like if this is the trajectory?
I think we see Aletheia-like systems applied beyond mathematics, physics, chemistry, biology, any domain with formal structure and verifiable results. The autonomy levels framework is explicitly designed to generalize. Level 3 autonomous research in mathematics today could be level 3 autonomous research in materials science or drug design within a year. The verification bottleneck, how do you confirm an AI's research results, is different in each domain, but the agentic framework is transferable.
And Lyria?
Music is the wedge. The real play is multimodal creative generation, music, video, interactive experiences. If Gemini can write a song, score a film, and generate a game soundtrack, the creative tools market looks very different. But I'd also watch for the research paper that never came. When DeepMind ships a product without publishing the model architecture, it usually means the next version is already in training, and they don't want to give competitors a head start. Here's what stays with me. In 7 weeks of 2026, one lab demonstrated that its AI can solve problems that stumped mathematicians for decades, provided theoretical foundations for why intelligence might be simpler than we thought, and taught machines to sing in 8 languages. That's not a product roadmap. That's a thesis about the nature of intelligence, that it's general, that it favors simplicity, and that it spans from proof to performance.
Whether that thesis is right is the question of the decade.
Agreed. 3 outputs from DeepMind: Aletheia, Dingle Hutter, Lyria 3. From autonomous mathematicians to AI musicians, with universal optimization in between.
DeepMind Dispatch number 1, February 2026. 3 papers, 1 lab, 1 through line.
That's a wrap. Until next time, dispatches from the edge.
This podcast is entirely AI generated. Scripts written by Claude Opus 4.6. Voices rendered by Tianwen 3TTS. That's Quen 3TTS for us English speakers. Find Daily Tech Feed from the labs on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever fine podcasts are distributed. All of our shows here at Daily Tech Feed are available at pod.c457.org. Not affiliated with any companies or researchers discussed. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
New world in a PDF beam. Daily Tech Feed from the labs. Tiny sparks turning into maps. Archive pages in a gentle sway. Tomorrow's tricks in my ears today.